Amen. Well, thank you for being here today that we can worship together. And as I shared this morning with our elders, you know, I just like being in the house of the Lord. I like being with our church family. I like being with you. So, you know, the angst of it all is when you have a storm like this, what do you do? Do you have worship? Do you cancel? Some of us, you know, who like Dr. Pillow and Reverend Sheets, you know, we would like to say, oh, I like that church. But, you know, there's something wonderful gathering together in the name of the Lord to worship Him in spirit and truth. And that's what we do. So thank you, thank you, thank you for coming today. And we will be... As you've already heard from Scott, we'll be canceling the service tonight. We want everyone safe. And if you do need help in any way, please reach out to us. We'll do our very best. Scott offered his Jeep. So take advantage of that. We also want to give our condolences and our prayer support to the White family, the Vincent family, for the passing of, as I've affectionately called him, Pastor Bob. Bob White passed away, graduated to glory this past week, and we are so grateful for his testimony, for his love for Jesus, and to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He is with his Savior, and we will be having a service here this coming Thursday. The family visitation time will be from 10 to 11. The service will start from 11. And to 12, immediately following the service, we'll travel to Bushnell for the interment. So be in prayer for that and pray for the family, and we will appreciate that so much. Well, this morning, we are traveling together in the Sermon on the Mount. Appreciate so much Pastor Christian and his just paving the way for a lot of this material. And if I looked at chapter 6, you know, last week we were introduced to this idea about rewards and treats, you know, well, in a sense. You know, if you're good, you know, you're going to get this reward from God, or if you do the right things and so forth. But our motivation really should come from a heart that is totally surrendered to the Holy Spirit, a heart that is totally sold out to Christ, and we serve Him. We do things for God because of His love for us and because we love Him. And we leave the results to Him. And actually, we should just leave the rewards to Him. Praising God for the gift of eternal life. Praising God that we can sing wonderful songs. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, you know, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. So those are good things, but let's leave the results to God, but let's serve Him because we love Him. Well, we're in Matthew chapter 6, and we're looking at verses 7 through 15 this morning. And as we do, we just want to read the scripture. I would entitle this portion of Scripture, praying like Jesus, or praying like Jesus taught us. Verse 7, it says, "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Let's just pause for prayer for a moment. Father, as we look into your word this morning, We do pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you'll speak to each of our hearts, Lord, that you'll draw us close to you, that we may hear your voice speaking to us, and that you will do that inward work that only you can do, that you will just move among us, that you'll transform us, that you'll challenge us, maybe convict us. But Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit will come and change us, mold us, shape us to be more like Jesus, to be more like him, that we may emulate his character and qualities, that we may radiate Christ's likeness. Father, for your glory and honor, we pray. So come and speak to us. We thank you for what you're going to do in these moments. In Jesus' name, amen. Part of me wants to just say, you know, it would be just like the nature of things to have a tropical storm knocking on our doorstep, especially when we're coming to this passage that talks about praying like Jesus. If we ever need to pray, we need to pray like Jesus. There is a wonderful organization that puts a lot of videos on YouTube called The Bible Project. And if you haven't been familiar with that, we encourage you to check that out. And they have a whole series that talks about the Sermon on the Mount. And they got together with some Bible scholars and translators, and they reworded the scriptures sort of this way, praying like Jesus this way. And they said, "Our Father, who is in the skies, may your name be recognized as holy. May your kingdom come and may your will be done as it is in the skies, so also in the land. Our daily provision of bread give to us today. And forgive us our debts, just as we also have forgiven those indebted to us. And don't lead us to be tested, but deliver us from the evil one." When we pray like Jesus taught us to pray, his disciples asked him, "Lord, teach us to pray." I hope that you've come to the Lord in your own walk with him, in faith with him, and say, "Lord, teach me to pray just the way Jesus prayed." When Jesus taught, when we pray like him, our praying reveals humility, it reveals honesty, and it reveals hunger for God, and it reveals the hope that God brings by hearing and answering as he wills. And as I look at this passage of scripture, I notice at least 8 qualities revealed in our praying as Jesus taught us to pray. You know, when you're along with someone and if you hear them pray, you can tell, if we're fruit inspectors, their relationship with God, right? Sometimes we know that person, you know, like the Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisee looked up and he says, "Oh," and he looked over and he saw that publican, that tax collector who was not well liked by anyone else and not well respected by anyone else and was considered wicked, you know. So the Pharisee, outwardly religious, clean outwardly, perfect outwardly, he prays and he says, "God, I thank you that I'm not like that guy." Right? Sometimes maybe we pray that way. We go along and we say, "Oh, God, I thank you that I'm not like so-and-so or not like them." But when we really come apart and we look at this prayer, we see that it is a model prayer that reveals at least 8 qualities in our praying as Jesus taught us to pray. The first is our sincere and genuine heart is revealed in our praying. In verse 6 and 7, we see that. And notice what Jesus is saying here. He's talking, he's teaching, he's speaking. And he says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. We're to pray in such a way that our heart is genuine, authentic, sincere, real. We're not just praying vain repetitions. We're not just praying, oh, I got to make sure that I have at least seven or eight these and thous in there. No, we're praying from our heart. We're not praying empty phrases. We're not just going through the motions outwardly. We're not trying to impress others with how eloquent our language is. We're in conversation with Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, the creator of man and woman made in his likeness. We are in conversation with him because we've entered that relationship by faith in a relationship with Jesus Christ, and now we have a direct divine connection with God Almighty. We can go in the throne room boldly before the throne because of Christ's righteousness, Christ's holiness, and because of that, I can enter into that throne room and lift prayers to the Lord. But my heart, God knows my heart. He sees everything in me. He knows what we're thinking right now. He knows the emotions that we are dealing with. He knows whether or not I'm going to be filled with fear because I freak out about storms. Pastor Ted does. One of our recent podcasts, I just mentioned, I don't know if it will be in there or not as we recorded it, but I did mention, if you can guess how many weather apps I have on my phone, you'll get a prize, right? And because I'm a Florida boy, I grew up in hurricanes and I grew up in storms, as many of you, and we've experienced that together. Sometimes we allow the environment around us to grab hold of us, to gravitate us, to dictate to us, and to cause us to have fear. Christ is saying to his disciples, listen, I'm giving you something that's going to help you in the moments that you're facing fear, in the moments that you're facing trials, in the moments that you're facing tribulation, in the moments that you're facing testing, and it's called prayer. And this is how I would like you to pray. When we pray, it reveals our heart before God. You know, one of the beautiful things, there's a lot of rough things about growing old, isn't there? One of the beautiful things about growing old, maybe it's beautiful, maybe it isn't. Sometimes we get that little Irish, I'm Irish, so sometimes we get that. I get that out and I say, you know, I don't care what they think. I don't care what others think. I'm going to wear my favorite T-shirt in public that's got holes in it and stains on it and is an embarrassment to my wife. I'm going to wear it because I don't care what they think. I don't do that because I know better, right? Happy wife, happy life. But sometimes we should have that attitude in our praying to God the Father. Father, I care about what you think. I care about what you know my heart. You see me as I am. And I care about you. I want to please you. I want to delight in you. I want you to delight in me because you love me and I love you. Help me not get so wrapped up in what others think about my praying, but help me just to reveal my heart, authentic, sincere, real. It's okay to repeat words over and over again. It's not a magic incarnation. It's okay to be persistent in our prayer requests before God. God wants to hear that. He wants to know our hearts. He wants us to have a sincere heart. We can never pray too much if our prayers are honest and sincere. And so we need to make sure that we pray with a sincere heart. Secondly, I see that as we pray, our sinful selfishness is exposed when praying. If we're honest, yes. Verse 7 and 8 again says, "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases." And the ESV says, "as the Gentiles do." The NIV says, "as the pagans do. For they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask them." There was this idea that I can show others how in, so to speak, I am with God by the fancy words I pray. And to God, they're like empty. Empty. They have no meaning. They're not sincere. They're empty phrases. God wants us to come to Him. And as we come to Him in prayer, and maybe we come to Him in our closet first, on our knees, in secret, we are praying to God. And we're letting the Holy Spirit search our hearts and minds. And He sees us as we are. And in that moment, because we are in Christ Jesus, we are in His presence, in His throne room, and we can tell Him everything. We can tell Him anything. And He wants us to come before Him. And His Spirit will say, "Hey, you know that thought you had? That wasn't too holy or Christ-like. You know that attitude that you displayed? You know that emotion and anger that you poured out on that person? That wasn't right. You know that lie you told? That wasn't my child. You know that, whatever it may be, that thing you looked at you shouldn't look at? You know that thought you shouldn't think?" You know. And in that moment, God, in our praying, He reveals, "You know what? I need cleansing. I need His holiness. I need His healing." Praise the Lord for the Holy Spirit's work in our hearts and lives that gives us His divine supernatural presence to do a cleansing work because of the shed blood of Christ on the cross. We need to come clean before our God. Be sincere. Be real. James 4:2 says, "You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask." Sometimes we do not have because we are selfish and we ask with wrong motives. We need to come clean before the Lord. Thirdly, our understanding of who God is and our relationship with Him is revealed in our praying. Our relationship with God is revealed in our praying. We don't have to impress God. That's a good thing. I remember as a young boy going to prayer meeting. Back in the day, we didn't have a kids club program, the church I grew up in, because we didn't have that many kids. We had 5 to 7 or so, but on Wednesday night, we'd go to prayer meeting. Everybody was there. The kids were there too. And we were wiggly and squiggly and wormy and moved all around. But as I listened to adults pray, I got to realize, hey, that person has a connection with God. I want a connection like that. When people hear you pray, do they see and sense the love that you have for God Almighty in your prayers? Do they understand that relationship that you have? You know, you can see that, can't you? You can see that in relationships. Well, that person really loves their family. That person really loves their children. That person really loves their spouse. By the way they treat, the way they talk, the way they listen. You can tell how much you love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength by how you pray, how you listen to the Holy Spirit. The Life Application Note says, the phrase, our Father in heaven, indicates that God is not only majestic and holy, but also personal and loving. The first line of this model prayer is a statement of praise and a commitment to hallow or honor God's holy name. God Almighty, you are holy and worthy. So worthy are you that we can even enter into your presence and just reveal what you want to hear, what you already know already, but you enjoy our relationship. You ever think about that? God delights in you so much, he enjoys hearing from you. Those of you who are parents or grandparents, maybe great-grands, do you enjoy hearing from your family, sons and daughters, your grandkids far away? I hope you do. Man, I do. I feel like it's Christmas morning when I get a call or from my daughter or a call from my granddaughter. It's like I get all, yes, I get all weird. I do. I just get all weird, and I drive my daughter batty because I'm weird. I'm just like, oh, and I ask stupid questions, and I listen, and I try not to upset or irritate, but I'm excited. Why? Because there's a relationship happening. There's a conversation that's being spoken and listened to. And I hope through my words and my listening that people who may be eavesdropping know how much I love my family. When you pray, people will eavesdrop. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. If you're in a public restaurant, you grab your spouse's hand and you pray in public. And you ask God to bless the meal and you give thanks. Don't be ashamed of that. Don't ever be ashamed of that. Because you are acknowledging and hallowing our Father's name for being the provider. Yeah, we can get all redneck in Florida like say, well, he didn't really provide that. That restaurant, they had to order that from the food supplier, and then the food supplier had to get it from the, you know, the warehouse, and the warehouse had to get it from the food distributor, and the food distributor had to get it from the farmer who had to get it to the packaging plant and all that. God didn't provide that. Oh, yes, he did. He provided it because he gave man the ability and the wisdom and the knowledge to think about that. Yeah, he did. So we can thank him and pray. Don't be ashamed of giving thanks to God. That's hallowing his name. Number four, our desire for God's plan and his purpose is to be accomplished. It's revealed in our praying. When we pray, we are saying, God, as Jesus prayed in the garden, and that was an intense time when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed and he bowed, and the writer says as he prayed so intensely that it was as if sweat was coming, but it was like drops of blood. It was so intense. He was praying and he was saying, God, please let this cup pass from me. Let what this is going to take place pass from me, but not my will, but your will be done. Oh. Your will be done. When we pray, Your will be done. May your will be done. We are not resigning ourselves to fate, but praying that God's perfect purpose will be accomplished in this world as well as in the next. We're saying, God, I want your plan. I want your purposes. I want your way. I want your agenda. I want your ideas. I want your character. I want your justice. I want your righteousness. I want your way to be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want your way. May I pause here and say this? And it's okay if you get mad at me, because I'm going to be an old man at this point. I don't care. I don't care if you're mad at me about what I'm going to say. That's this. It's not the Dem way, Democratic way. It's not the Republican way. It's not the independent way. It's God's way. It's Yahweh. It's God's way. It's God's way. And it's about time we say, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What's the promise? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. We get it backwards. We think we got to do it our way to get all these things. God says, you are clueless. It's all for him and his glory. It's God's way. May we pray that all the more. Lord, I want your plan. I want your purpose. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Number five, our dependence on God's provision is revealed in our praying. Matthew 6:11 says, give us this day our daily bread. The gentleman on the Bible Project, they kind of bring out this phrase, and when they redid it, they wrote some original music to the prayer, and they had people learn that, I don't know if it was Arabic or the biblical language, to pray and to sing it. It was beautiful. But when they got to this phrase, give us this day our daily bread, it was sort of like ushered in. It wasn't just, oh, give us this day our daily bread. It was, give us this day our daily bread. It was like begging. It was like, God, we need you. We're dependent upon you. We need you. We need your supply. We need your provision. We need your help. When we pray, give us today the food we need, we're acknowledging that God's our sustainer. He's the provider. He's the one who will meet our needs daily. And that's wonderful that we can rely upon him. Sometimes we like to take things in our own hands and think, well, you know, I gotta figure it out. I gotta provide for us. I gotta do something. We need to wait and trust on God. I remember a time we were pastoring in Brandon, Florida, and I had a part-time job throwing papers for the St. Petersburg Times. They're not around anymore. But I threw papers. The Lord worked it out that I could throw the route in which I lived. So I'd get up at 1:30 in the morning and go roll my 250 papers and put them in my little Pontiac Sunbird and then go around my community. I got to know all the streets there and throw papers. And the challenge was Sunday morning. I Still had to do it. Now, the manager gave me grace and let me come in on Monday around 3:30 instead of 1:30, but let me throw the papers. You know, I was throwing like 300 and 400 papers. And got really good at going around those corners, throwing those papers. I took my dad one time, got him sick to his stomach. He said, let me out of this car. And he was some tough guy. But I wore out my tires on that car. I mean, you could see the steel belt on them. And we didn't have money for tires. And I was praying, Lord, I don't know what to do about these tires. I need tires. I'm going to get a flat in the middle of the morning throwing these papers. I got to get tires. Lord was just working on me. Wait. And I'm like, I got to do it. I got to go get tires. Wait. I got to do it. I got to get tires. So guess what I did? Went down and I got tires. The next day, a gentleman came, said, Pastor Ted, Lord's put it on my heart. Get in your car. We're going to go get you some tires. I said, I already got tires. You what? Yeah, I went out and got tires. He says, could you afford it? No. Why'd you do that? Because I'm foolish. Stupid. I didn't wait on God. I missed the blessing. Now, God's grace intervened. The gentleman 2 weeks later says, you know what? We're going to pay for your tires. So God worked it out in spite of my foolishness. But sometimes we like to hurry and rush God when God's trying to teach us a greater lesson. A greater lesson. Wait on the Lord. Be still and know that I am God. We need to come before him and say, God, give us our daily bread, but help us to wait on you. Why did the Israelites try to hoard the manna? God said, hey, you can collect, get enough for each day. And then, the day before the Sabbath, get enough for 2 days. But they went out and they tried to collect all they could, you know, hoarding. And what happened to the manna? It didn't turn into heavenly manna. It turned into earthly maggots. Ugh. And they did that. Why? Because they didn't listen to God Almighty and they didn't take the time to wait on him. And they didn't say, hey, give us this day our daily bread. Lord knows what you need before you ask, but he likes us to come to him and say, Father, I'm dependent upon you. I don't have all the wisdom. I don't have all the knowledge, and I'm not putting myself down. Yes, I've been made in your likeness and image, but I'm demonstrating that I am your child. You are my father. I need you, and I need your supply daily. Please, glorify yourself in this. God will show up. If you surrender, God will show up. If you confess your sin, God will show up. If you remove selfishness and pride, God will show up and he will meet your need. That's why David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children's children begging for bread. You might say, well, I've seen some of God's children begging for bread. Well, maybe they are out of fellowship and out of step with God Almighty. Could be. Number six, our need to forgive and be forgiven is revealed in our praying. Verse 12 says, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, and or forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Those who have sinned against us. Lord, help me forgive them. Lord, forgive my sin as well. Isaiah says this in verse 25 of chapter 43. God says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. I will not remember your sins. God does that. The amazing truth about the Christian faith is God's ability to forgive man's sin and to offer holiness and to offer eternal life and to offer a relationship with the divine creator forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. And God is longing for his children to come into his presence and to pray, Lord, forgive me of my sin. Forgive, help me to forgive those who have sinned against me. And that is hard to do, isn't it? That's why we need his divine presence and power to give us that ability to say yes. 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 10 really speaks about this. John said, he said, if we say that we have fellowship with him, God the Father, while we walk in darkness, doing our own thing, being selfish, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, because Christ is the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Hallelujah. And the blood of Jesus, his son, what does it do? It cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. If we say, okay, Father, forgive me of all my sin, cleanse me from all my unrighteousness, and the Holy Spirit says, yeah, but what about that individual that you haven't forgiven? Oh, Lord, that's no big deal. That, you know, you're still harboring that resentment. You're harboring a seed of bitterness. You know, if we allow that resentment and that bitterness to go unattended, it will flourish and grow into malice and slander and hatred and anger. And then all of a sudden, what comes out of our mouth is not the fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit of sin. Some people will say, hey, that person right there, that's a grumpy, grouchy, critical, condemning Christian. I don't want anything to do with their faith. Why? Because that root of bitterness has come up and choked out the seed of righteousness because you've refused to confess that, Lord, I need to forgive my brother and sister because of this. Well, Pastor, they're dead. Doesn't matter. Oh, yes, it does. Forgiveness is more of a benefit for the person who is giving the forgiving than the one who receives it. So you have to forgive. Lord, I want to be clean before you. So help me to forgive. Help me to forgive those who spout off anger. Help me to forgive those who have shown hatred to me. Help me to forgive. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know the abuse. I don't need to know. And you just need to know that he knows. And he is offering complete, total healing in your heart, your soul, your mind, your emotions. Yes, your body. I believe God heals. But it comes with an act of faith. God the Father is longing for his children to reach out their arms so that Abba Father can grab a hold of you and hold you close and bring you to his divine chest, so to speak, and whisper in your ears his divine love and grace and sustenance in your time of need. Do not allow malice and slander and hatred and bitterness to rule in your heart and cause you to be unforgiving. Seven, our need for deliverance from evil and struggle with temptation is revealed in our praying. Corinthians is a beautiful promise. We are to pray in our praying, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God, don't allow me to go into testing, sort of like Jesus prayed. But if you do, let your will be done. Help me to pass the test, so to speak. Help me to say no to temptation and yes to you. Paul wrote these words in Corinthians. He said, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you to be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. It's a beautiful picture. God will provide a way for you to be an overcomer for him. Reach out to him. Seek him. And he will do that. He'll give you strength to say yes to him and no to sin. Hallelujah. Number eight, our ability to forgive others is closely related, again, to this idea of forgiveness, to our Heavenly Father's forgiveness of sin. It's not dependent on that, but there is a relationship there. There is a relationship. Verse 14 and 15 says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. In other words, we are to be like Christ. Christ was dying on the cross, and what did he say? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Wow. In the midst of being put to death, he said that. Chuck Smith, the pastor, the founder of Calvary Chapel back in the day with Love Song and Chuck Gerard and all those in the church there, discipled many. One of his messages, he said this about this passage. He said, and then again, Jesus emphasized the fact that you have been forgiven so much by God. Who are you to hold a debt against your brother? So having been forgiven, we forget. And if we forgive, then we are forgiven. If we don't forgive, Jesus said, we are not forgiven. I have no intention of modifying the statement of Jesus Christ. He goes, I just intend to follow it and to be forgiving and to forgive. God help me. That's against my nature. My own nature wants to get even. My own nature wants everything that's coming. My own nature just doesn't want to forgive. We get squandered. We say, I have rights. I have rights. How dare you stomp on my rights? And the maker of heaven and earth gave up all his rights. Jesus. He gave up all his rights. So that you could be made right with his Father and have a vital, growing, beautiful, deep, intimate relationship with him that is brought about by praying. Ephesians 4:32 says this, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Why am I to forgive others? Because Christ forgave me. Christ forgave me. You remember that little part of where Jesus was at the home of some religious leaders, and all of a sudden this lady comes in and she is just crying with tears, and she pours out perfume on Christ's feet and begins to dry his feet with her hair. She's crying. And Jesus remarks that she's been forgiven much. And she's expressing love. We need to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God and Christ forgave you. Well, that person didn't do that. No, it's not about them responding to you. It's about you and the Lord. Are you kind? Are you tender-hearted? Are you forgiving as Jesus has forgiven you? So what is God saying to you today from his word? We are going to enter a time that we're coming to remember the Lord's death until he comes again. And he is coming again. But it's a time of self-examination. It's a time of reflection. And it's a time of renewal and recommitment. So how will you respond to the Lord today? We're going to ask the elders for prayer to come, and we'll pray and then honor the Lord through communion. Let's pray. Father, as we approach your table, we come soberly, we come aware that you are here, where two or three are gathered there, you are in the midst. We thank you for the example of teaching us how to pray. Help us to pray more like Jesus. Help us, Lord, to give words that are from our heart, that are genuine, authentic, real, sincere. Help us, Lord, in that moment, not to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but, Lord, that as we do pray, that we honor you. As we do pray, we humbly seek your face and for your will to be done. As we do pray, Lord, we ask for your will to be accomplished on earth as it is in heaven. We do ask, Lord, that you will have your way in our lives to be our provider of our daily needs, to be our healer of our sicknesses. And Lord, I pray that you will continue to move in our lives in such a way that you will allow us to be your light and your salt, that we are filled with the hope that Jesus gives us, the hope of glory. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving up all your rights. You who knew no sin becoming sin for us, that so that we could be made right before you. So Holy Spirit, come now in these moments. Come and have your way. Speak to us, draw us near. And we thank you for what you're going to accomplish. In Jesus' wonderful name.